Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Ursed comes set, waist high. 1-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. The Royals are moving on to the ALDS.
The worst feeling, you know, you want to play as long as you can with a group like this and these guys, and they've competed all year.
I mean, I liked our chances. I feel like we made steps in the right direction, just weren't able to get it done today.
I think especially when you lose like this, there's frustration, there's anger, and there's disappointment because you felt like there was opportunities there in those couple games to change the score, and it didn't happen. You know, I'm proud of our team. I thought, you know, we had a really good first half. Things were going well. Second half, we had a lot of bumps in the road.
Oh, they were bumps. They were potholes. They were mountains. There were all sorts of things that went wrong for Brandon Hyde's Orioles in the second half of the season, culminating in a sweep at the hands of the Kansas City Royals, a team that had two 7-game losing streaks in August and September. A team that could not score runs and only scored three against the Orioles over the course of two games. But yet they advance, take on the Yankees in the ALDS, and we'll get into all of that because it is kind of an historic reminiscent of the 70s, 80s sort of thing between those two teams, if you're old enough to remember. But for the Birds of Baltimore, and I will admit I was wrong on a couple of levels. Nolan, get in here. It's 410-583-1057, Vinny at 80. Total request Thursday, pick a song, we'll play it. 11 o'clock at Jabot's in featured artist Friday. I thought the Orioles were going to beat the Royals. But I thought their ultimate demise, because I didn't think they were going to win the World Series, would be, we'd be sitting here post-mortem, the bullpen did them in. Well, the bullpen held up its end of the bargain. What did them in was their second biggest problema this season. Inability to hit with runners in scoring position. Last year, Orioles number one Major League Baseball batting average runners in scoring position. Relying more on the home run here in 2024. Let's not forget June 20th when they blew out the Yankees 17-5. They were on pace to win 107 games. They led the majors in runs scored, led the majors in OPS, led the majors in home runs. That was a formula for success. Then they went to Houston, and things kind of went pear-shaped there. Then the injuries started to mount. Adley Rutschman got hit in his right hand. I think it was a foul ball, if I'm not mistaken, as he was behind the dish.
Mm-hmm.
And he went from a guy hitting 300 with 15 bombs and an 800 OPS plus, deserving starting catcher for the American League All-Star team, to a guy that was below average in the second half with limited hard contact. And I'm not making excuses for him. He was brutal. What, he hit 130 in July? Something crazy like that? But it was a tale of two halves for the team. And I think he was kind of a microcosm of it. Tale of two halves for Cedric Mullins. He's terrible in the first half, great in August and September. And kind of the only guy that showed up in this two-game sweep at the hands of the Royals. But 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position. And the one just advanced the guy to third. Didn't even score. And that was Mullins getting the base hit with Arias on second base. Now, Mullins did kind of profile on a one that could have been a triple, but we're not going to sit here and blame him for the loss by any stretch of the imagination. He provided the offense for the series against the Royals. And let me break out some of the ugly stats. Gunnar 0-for-7 in the series. Struck out the end of the year. Jordan Westberg 1-for-6. Taters. Come on, dude. 1-for-8. Bases loaded, nobody out. You can't get the ball out of the infield. Moo Man, 1-for-7. And as fate would have it, breaks his hand swinging at a ball. Adley Rutschman, 1-for-8. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Problems for the Orioles. So a season-long problem that was magnified in the second half of the year especially. They came alive down the stretch a little bit. But their inability to cash in run-scoring situations ultimately did them in. Corbin Burns was brilliant on Tuesday. Eflin wasn't bad yesterday. And Perez gave up a Baltimore chop and a blue pit. And Monday, one zip, or Tuesday rather, Orioles had first and third, one out, couldn't cash in. Kansas City scored next half inning. Yesterday, 1-1, bases loaded, nobody out, couldn't score. Kansas City cashed in next half inning. Just couldn't get it done offensively. So it was a tale of two halves. One of the best teams in baseball first half, and a team that played the second half below 500, but built up enough equity to get to the postseason. So I know everybody's going to melt down, and I'm going to melt down a little bit myself. I think a change of approach is needed offensively. Pitching-wise, okay. Probably going to lose Corbin Burns. Hopefully they make a spirited effort to keep him around. If he goes somewhere else, it is what it is. Just don't throw up your hands and go, we can't afford to sign him. That's the last thing Oriole fans want to hear. With new David Rubenstein, a new ownership, that's an angel. Oh, we can't afford it. Don't say that. At least play the game. You might not win it. At least participate in it. What happens with Taters? McCann's a free agent. O'Hearn has a player option, which I'm assuming the Orioles would pick up, or a team option, rather, for $7.5 million. We'll see. But it's a big offseason. But the momentum is built towards success. They've accomplished things this year before you start jumping off ledges they haven't done in 40 years. Back-to-back 90-win seasons. Making the playoffs for the first time back-to-back years in 27 years. Multiple All-Stars. Tail of two halves. Need to readjust, rethink philosophies, and I think offensively. And I think because Felix Bautista's coming back, he's going to be what he was last year. And I'm not holding my breath waiting for that to happen. I mean, he's going to be well moved a year. He's already a year removed from Tommy John surgery, but how effective is he going to be? I don't know. But things need to be addressed, and can you count on Holiday and Mayo to take this step? Does Adley bounce back from a disastrous second half? We'll see. I can't answer those questions, but all is not dire in Baltimore. And anyone thinks this is the worst loss in the history of the... It might be for younger people, but no, I got a lot worse than this one.
Right. Well, I mean, last year was worse than this year just because of expectations. But your perspective, it's not wrong, right?
From it's 100% correct.
Right, as always. But from a historical perspective, you're right. Back-to-back 90-win seasons, that has to count for something. You do have inherent momentum with that. But that makes the losses a little harder to stomach because the team should have been capable of so much more. It's not like this was a team that overachieved to get to where they did. They overachieved a little bit last year. This year, probably underachieved in the grand scheme of things and looking at their roster and everything. And the biggest thing that's hard for me to stomach with the way they lost these games, offense being the biggest issue, is that's not tied to injuries, right? And for the longest time in the second half, it felt like injuries was going to be the thing that we all pointed our finger towards when the season came to an end and said, that's why they lost this year. That's the reason it all came crumbling down. That has nothing to do with getting hits with runners in scoring position. You know, there was nobody that they were missing on the diamond yesterday that could have helped them accomplish that. You know, if you want to talk about outside the organization, potential trades they could have made, free agents, sure. But that's in the past. They had the pieces they needed to win yesterday, and they didn't do it. Felix Bautista isn't going to give you a hit with a runner in scoring position. Tyler Wells, John Means, Kyle Bradish, it doesn't matter. We miss those guys, but that's not why they lost.
Yeah, their dudes were in the lineup yesterday. And if you want to really nitpick, because I know Brandon Hyde's going to get fired by a lot of people today, how about Cedric Mullins batting second, who had been outstanding last couple of months? I mean, look, Cedric Mullins was bad for a long time, but he got it heated up at the right time. Maybe adjust the lineup, tweak it a little bit. I don't know. It's all hindsight 2020. But to your point, Nolan, the guys that were terrible yesterday and through this two-game series are all guys that are back in the lineup. Jordan Westberg wasn't watching him suck with runners in scoring position. Ryan Mountcastle wasn't sitting next to the bat boy. He was a culpable part of it himself.
Right, and I mean, look, the organization to me is at a crossroads because you can't keep going down the same path. You know what this path is. You've been on it for a couple of years. You know where it's going. You've tried it. You've given it the full effort in this regard. Changes do need to be made. And it starts at the top. We got new ownership here. It's a new era of Orioles baseball. They need to start acting like it. And what's going to tell me everything is how they choose to handle the Santander negotiations. If you're not going to make him a spirited effort, like you said with Burns, I would have no hope. I mean, what are we doing here? This guy, you brought him up as a Rule 5 guy. He's grown in the organization. He's blossomed into a 40 home run hitter. He plays Gold Glove caliber defense in right field. How many times were we griping about team defense this year? He's one of the guys that actually isn't an issue from a defensive standpoint. He's your lone power source for all these years. If you're not going to make an effort to keep him here, a guy who wants to stay here, I would have no hope. I mean, come on.
I've never seen his passion before.
Spend some money.
From Nolan McGraw. Hey, I'm with you. I mean, we still have to pay $20 for a beer. It doesn't matter, like we say.
Well, that's BS, too.
Yeah, well, that's another. And the guy wants to give you a 20% tip for me grabbing the beers, opening them, and go, wait a minute. I just literally grabbed it, took it to you, opened it. You want me to tip you? But that's another story altogether. Vinny, your thoughts?
My thoughts are that I'm anxious to hear what Elias has got to say today.
Yeah, and Hyder.
Yeah, I think that's going to be important because he's got to look in the mirror. All right, what we're doing is not working. You know, it's kind of like the same thing like with Lamar Jackson. It's regular season doesn't matter. It's all about the playoffs because the Orioles have lost 10 straight. I mean, this group has lost 5 straight. So what do we got to do to fix it? And they got to do a deep dive, like you guys said. They got to do a deep dive into, all right, what do we got to do to get over the hump? You know, is our roster constructed properly? Do we have enough youth with age and, you know, all those kind of things? And you know, are we using analytics too much during the game? You know, I don't know, but they gotta do a deep dive into that. I mean, that's what, you know, like if this was the NFL, that's what I would be like if we had just lost in the playoffs. That's what I would be doing. And you're going to have meetings with, you know, coaches and stuff. Are these the right guys? And, you know, do we need to replace some stuff? What were our strengths and weaknesses? How do we fix our weaknesses? And how do we continue to go on with our strengths? You know, all those type of things. And then off-season surgeries. Who needs surgeries? You know, all those type of things. So there's a lot of things that Mike Elias has. Now, this is Mike Elias's time now to fix.
Yeah, and with Hyde, they're not firing Brandon Hyde, but coaches might be feeling the wrath, and that happens in every sport. Somebody gets sacrificed, and when you suck at a certain area of your team, runners in scoring position, you know, F that exit below, and sometimes play your hunch, forget about the matchups and launch angles. Small ball's not, it's not a bad, Kansas City kind of thrives on that philosophy. Then again, 2 7-game losing streaks in September, and they can't score. I'd like to say they'd be sacrificial lambs for the Yankees, but you never know. Their pitching is on point. If they can contain Soto and Judge, they're going to be very much in that series. But anyway, we'll get to the rest of the baseball scores, but the Orioles season has come to a disappointing end. But is it really a surprising end if you think about this rationally? And it's not the window slamming shut either. And if you think like that, then you need to reevaluate what the hell you've been watching the last couple of years. Ravens in Cincinnati, hey, they win there. Maybe they slam Cincy's window shut to be a playoff team just in October. We that far along. Terps are off this week. They did get a big basketball commitment, which we'll talk about from the men, so stay tuned for that. There is Thursday night football. We'll look at our picks. Vinny's film breakdown of the Cincinnati Bengals coming off their first win of the season. Was it an easy win? I don't know. What does the film say? Getting all of that and more. Soda requests are there, et cetera, et cetera. Raise your hand, and my hand's already raised. Bases loaded, nobody out. When Santander popped up, I thought they were done. Even with when Kowser came up and Adley, I had zero faith. Yes, I apologize as a Baltimorean, but when Santander popped up, I even said to my daughter, I said, we're done. What do you mean? I said, we're done. They're not scored. Nolan, you were there. Were you that unconfident?
Well, I mean,
lacking the confidence like I stuck a fork in him then.
I maintained hope until the inning was over.
Right.
Maybe I'm naive for that.
You're naive.
The energy was there, though, in the stadium. I mean, people wanted to believe. Yeah. People wanted a reason to explode. They did for the Cedric homer. They wanted it in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. They didn't give it to us.
As soon as he popped up, and even he, you could see the defeat and angst on his eyes. We're finished.
Bob, I said yesterday that the Orioles need to score early so they can kind of relax, you know, take a deep breath. I said if they don't score in the 4th or 5th, those hands, it's going to get tighter and tighter.
That was kind of, we were talking in the media, waiting on Brandon and I. Like, they don't get out to an early lead. Yeah. I mean, the pressure is going to be in. But then the Mullins homer kind of relaxed. Then they load the bases. Like, well, here it is. Taters is at least going to get a sac fly. Going to take the first lead. And they didn't. And they were done. And you could just, it was like the air just sucked out of the balloon. And it was brutal.
Like the 9th inning, Bob, they were done.
Rios hit a nice little smoke shot down third base, but, you know, Garcia made the play, and they went quietly. And then Gunnar Henderson, series he'd like to forget. Remember, he hit 500 against Texas last year, so he raked that series. But what's the opposite of raking? Unraked?
Stepping on rakes.
he stepped on, there you go.
And it hit him in the head.
Hit him in the head. It was Elmer Fudd style. All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. I guess everybody's ready to start firing and rehiring and firing. Go to Rob at Bel Air. Rob, thanks for holding. What's up?
Frustrated, Bob. Very frustrated.
I feel your pain, my friend.
If something about these Kansas City teams, Baltimore cannot beat. If it's not the Chiefs, it's the Royals. It just seems like they have our number, doesn't it? It's amazing. Bob, when you think about it, it's been since the 1983 World Series. They've been there. What was it? Return of the Jedi was in the theater. Cheech and Chong, Still Smoking, was there.
Reagan was in his first term. Van Halen was still together with the original act. I was a teenager. What in the wild world of sports is going on? Or Len Bias was a freshman at Maryland. What the bleep's going on around here?
Right, and that's exactly, you know, I was sitting there during that game, and like you were talking about the bases loaded.
The Colts were still here. The Colts were still here, Rob.
I know, but when you made the point, when he popped up, I said, God, this is the kill shot. I said, you guys could just put him away right here. I said, and you think about it, I don't think there's anything special about Kansas City's offense except one guy had something to do with them winning, and that was the guy that was picked after Adley, Bobby Witt Jr. If it wasn't plays in the field, except the second baseman made a great play, and the outfielder who robbed Arias.
Yeah, Melendez.
Yeah.
That was a Tommy Agee play. Google it.
Right. I remember that. Yeah. But like you said, man, as soon as they didn't score, I said the same thing. I turned to my daughter and I said, they're done. And she goes, no. And I'm like, great. This was their opportunity. I'm like, it's over. It's over. And the thing was, there was only, right after that, I think there was only one hit by the Orioles after that, and that was Slater. That was that hit by Slater. After that, they couldn't buy their way on the base. But I want to ask you the final question. If you're a free agent, okay, remember in the days when pitchers didn't want to come here because of left field? If you are I know it's going to come down to dollars. Of course, money talks. But would you be, isn't this a hard place to go for right-handers now? I mean, because there are some balls that, you know, how many times did you hear that would have been out of 27 out of 30 ballparks? What is your thought on
that? I think it could be a deterrent, Rob, to your point. But, you know, money ultimately talks. And that left field wall wall is definitely reachable. Just like Yankee Stadium, if you're a left-handed hitter, you'd salivate going to a Yankee Stadium or a right-handed hitter at Fenway Park. Would it be a deterrent for right-handed bats? I think Baltimore has done to Mountcastle what the shift did to Chris Davis. To borrow a phrase from Ryan Ripken, it domed him up.
Yeah. I think you're right, Bob. It got into his head, you know, and he probably can't wait to get to somewhere else.
Well, he's not going anywhere unless they trade him because he's under contract. But therein lies what Mike Elias could be talking about. Well, where's, you know, Kobe Mayo going to fit in? Right. I mean, Westberg, we assume, going to be your third baseman because Jackson Holliday is going to be the second baseman. Where does Mountie fit into this equation? So these are interesting questions that Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde are going to have to answer today. We have time to get a call? Let's go get a call. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We got Gabe Lax. Hey. USA Today, talk about the baseball playoffs. How about Manny Machado and the Padres getting Ohtani? And how about the Mets and the Brewers and doing in-game interviews in like the ninth inning or whatever it was? It's like, come on, man. Get that stinking microphone out of here. That's the only series, by the way, that got to the third game. Man. And then the Detroit Tigers. Whew. How about them? Hot. They were in the first half with the Orioles, were in the second half. They were in the second half where the Orioles were in the first half.
Yeah.
And they're still breathing. Their first series win since 2013. All right, Nolan says break. If you're on the phones, we got you coming up next. Okay, Gabe Lax, whip around 11:15. Pretty historic Oriole thing happened on this date, October 3rd. We'll get to that. Mike Bordick put a bow on the Oriole season with him. Then a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw got news from the Nets coming up top of the hour. Lamar, Harbaugh, everybody getting ready for the Cincinnati Bengals division game for Baltimore. We got Brian Wacker from the Baltimore Sun at 12:30. Who's banged up? Who's healthy? And Cincinnati, I mean, Joe Burrow's had the Ravens number from time to time, but is their number up in the AFC North?
Yeah.
And then getting ready to go over and watch Hyder and the rest do their
What time was the game going to be at? 2?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Like, well, moot point now because other series had ended. I don't know because Brujas and the Mets are at 7.
Yep.
Maybe it stays at 4 to transition into back to back. But either way, I wouldn't be here. No offense, Vinny. I was looking forward to going downtown, hanging out with my people at Pickles Pub with Bordy and Rip. We'll talk to Bordy later. PBT, another season in the books. But the Orioles aren't done. If you think this train has come to a stop in the big picture, you're not paying attention. Go to Q in Pikesville. Q, what's up?
Yeah, good day, fellas. First and foremost, man, the last caller, he mentioned Witt, but I think he left out Salvador. Salvador Perez, that's the heart and soul of that team.
Oh, he's stud. He's been an Oriole ass kicker for many years, too, by the way.
Yeah, so you can't just say Witt just gets the notoriety, you know? To the youth listed in here, the lesson for today is never count your chickens before they hatch. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. I called in last week, talked to my man Bob and Vinny. And I said, listen, y'all keep talking about the Yanks. Uh-huh. Handle your business first against KC because KC is not going to be a walk in the park. Your words, the Bob, was, I guarantee that's going to be a win.
All right. Well,
what
happened?
Y'all got swept.
They only get, no doubt. It is what it is.
This
they got
team,
burned.
I've been
they got Swiffer.
This team is, they're not war ready yet. They're still young. Give it about 2 more seasons and then y'all might, if y'all work with y'all pitching. Yeah, might be some heavy hitters in the AL. But as far as this upcoming series, the Yanks, I got the Yanks winning that series in 4. KC is cool, but KC can't score runs.
Yep.
KC, for the past 10 years overall, KC is the type of team where if they lead going into the bullpen, the fifth or sixth inning, it's a wrap. You're done. Because their bullpen is pretty much lights out. But that's that. I think the Padres will take that might go 5 games. I think that'll go 5 games, but I think the Padres beat the Dodgers. Okay. And Vinny, when I called in also last week, I asked you, how soon do you think we'll get Devontae? Bob laughed at me. When I hung up, Bob laughed at my question.
I'm still laughing.
And you said, it's no way you don't see it because of the quote-unquote other guys we had. Now, I'm saying to myself, what other guys are you talking about? Mike Williams is a one-year deal. I'm not riding or dying with Mike Williams. He's injury-prone. Alan Lazard, cool, but that's later down the roster. So now they're saying yesterday it's between Gang Green and the Saints. Now they're saying this morning he wants to come play with Gang Green. I'm giving whatever we got to take, whether it's the second rounder, Hassan Reddick.
All right, Q, I hear you because we got to get to the Orioles. You're sitting here talking about the Jets. Devontae Adams apparently wants to go to either New Orleans or the Jets there. And we'll see. He's not coming to Baltimore.
No.
I know that was floated out there. Ravens are barely throwing the ball as it is.
Well, their number one is cap number is 13 mil, which is way out of their
league. They want a second end?
Second end something.
We'll get to that during the NFL stuff coming up around 12, but let's get back to the phones talking about the Orioles season coming to a quiet yet abrupt end. I did see that meme where they put the Halloween thing on Camden Yards when it was Spirit. You got him, that's funny. Because it looks like you when you go out of business, they put that. I didn't know people loved Halloween that much. Let's go to Frenchie in Northeast Baltimore. Frenchie, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, Bob, Vinny, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hello, Frenchie.
So, I guess there's a youth factor to it, but I guess what I'm running hot about is we've got two hitting coaches, and I guess they see things a little different than I do. But these guys were hitting the ball all over the park, opposite field, back up the middle during the first half. And I love these guys. They're exciting. They're young. They bring an energy back to the game that I've missed for a while in Baltimore. But I don't understand how these guys, the hitting coaches, and having two of them, don't see the differences from the first half to the second half where it seems like these guys are just trying to unload and hit home runs. And I think somebody said it earlier, or maybe it was Palmer maybe this morning talking about most of the time there's just solo home runs. So I'm not calling for anybody to get fired, but these guys got some work to do over the winter and spring training to get back to hitting the ball the other way.
You got that right, Frenchie. There's got to be a change of philosophy. Not everything has to be go for the gusto, launch angle, and exit velo. And during the game yesterday, Nolan, you were watching, Vinny, Ben McDonald was talking about how Hyder told Adley be more aggressive in the count.
Mm-hmm.
Swing and strikes. He's up 2-0. The reliever, I think it was Ford, grooves one right down the middle, and he takes a called strike, then he fouls one off, and then it just the at-bat goes south. I mean, it just, yeah. And matchups, do we really have to rely on matchups? Where did hunches go?
Right.
Just play the hunch every now and again.
Well, if he was playing the matchups with his bullpen and the pitching stuff the last 2 days, it did work.
Oh, it worked. But, I'm talking about offensively. Sure. The problem has been getting runs on the board. Home run. Kowser said it before the game yesterday. Home runs are nice. We got to find a way to start putting together, stringing together at bats, put up crooked numbers. And they weren't doing it. By the way, yesterday, Detroit was 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. You know what the one was, though? A three-run double. It only takes one. The Orioles got none. If you're on the phones, we'll take you when we come back. It's Vinny at 80-1057 The Fan. It is Total Request Thursday. Gabe Lax talking about the end of the Orioles season. I agree with Q, by the way. I think the Yankees have four of the Royals, but where's the possible upset in the next round? And they just went quietly into the night to the cloudy, crappy weather 2 days down in Baltimore, Kansas City. They improvised, adapted, and overcame. You score three runs in two games and you sweep a series?
Yeah.
Welcome to Baseball 2024. For the Orioles, inability to hit with runners in scoring position. Well, it doomed them when it was all said and done. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Total Request Thursday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Gabe Lax, USA Today. Talking about the Orioles. Goodbye. Chances Kansas City against the Yankees. Because you know the networks want the Judge against Ohtani in the World Series. Oh,
no doubt.
Because Houston's gone. First time since 16. They're not in the ALCS. Atlanta's gone, so. Mets are still clanking. We'll see. But possible upsets that would tip over that old national TV apple cart. Talk to Gabe about that. And then we're going to have Mike Bordick on, Oriole Hall of Famer, a colleague, BBT. The end of the season and what the Orioles need to do this offseason. And granted, we've still got a lot of time before now. It's pre-training, opening the checkbook, developing prospects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, let's go get Matt in Maine. Matt, thanks for holding. What's up?
Oh, Bob and Vinny, thanks for providing the platform for us to kick and scream this morning.
Do it.
Yeah, man. So three points, and I'll get off here because I know it's a busy day. First one, I'm going to try to take a positive approach and basically say that, you know, let's keep in mind that as the Orioles went down the stretch, almost winning the East again, you know, we have a payroll that's 1/4 of what the Yankees' payroll is. That better change. That needs to change. But I want to talk about Rutschman. I want to talk about Santander really quickly. So I'm going to come to Rutschman's aid on this because, you know, listening to a lot of stuff, not you guys, but other guys, just he is really, I mean, he's getting obliterated. The reality is the first 2 years since this guy came up in May, 2 years ago, they've been a completely different ball club. I don't put that on Brandon Hyde. I don't put it on anyone. I put it on his leadership. I mean, they called him Captain Clutchman at Oregon State for a reason, and he changed the entire persona of this team. The first 2 years that he was with us, basically he battled Aaron Judge for the on-base percentage title his first 2 years. On June 27th this year, I do not know how this is not spoken about more. On June 27th, an Orioles game was stopped for 15 minutes because Rutschman got drilled in the hand so hard by a backswing that he almost came out of the game. 1 week later, his batting average had dropped by 12 points. The 3 months that succeeded it, we watched him plummet, reach, search, and try to get back what he had. Now I'm going to transition to why I'm defending him, but also where the bigger problem is. Every single class that I took in school to become a writer, I looked forward to going to a classroom and learning something that someone else knew more than me. What part of hitting does Ryan Fuller and Max Borschlager or whatever it is?
Borschulte.
Bob, what did they know about hitting that Rutschman didn't know upon his arrival? I mean, quite honestly, College World Series hero, MVP, 1-1, et cetera.
Golden Spikes winner, National Player of the Year.
Thank you. So when he got into bad habits this year, fighting through an injury, I put much of this on Elias and Hyde. They should have sat him down for 30 days while we were still early in the season and got the hand right. But when he came back and just continued to play through it, who is he going to basically dig out of the bad habits of defensive hitting that he developed at the plate? I cannot put that on him. Quickly, Bob, the last thing I'll mention about Santander. Elias and Hyde today, when they meet, the worst part about that meeting is basically it's the Kumbaya unification meeting. It's basically saying that there's nothing to see here and everyone will be back. And I predict that that's what they'll say, including the hitting coaches, which I think is just it's offensive. And I hope from an ownership level that it doesn't get to go that way. I would go down this roster, and if you do not have an on-base percentage of 330 or higher, you cannot be part of the future, because that's what happened in the last 2 years under these hitting coaches. So I hear what Nolan, and I'm not trying to pick on Nolan, but I understand what guys are saying. Bring Santander back. We need to spend the money. We need to show we'll spend money. Don't spend it on Santander. There's a reason that he has 44, 45 home runs, but only basically 95, 100 RBIs. He is not good in clutch moments. He does not have a high on-base percentage. When you're barely at 300, that's not going to get it done. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
All right, there's Matt in Maine. Nolan, you were digging that call till the final 30 seconds.
No, there, I like Matt. Matt's nice on the phone, but he always says I'll be real quick and then goes for 10 minutes. So, yeah, it is what it is. And Santander not clutch? All right, it wasn't clutch yesterday, but how many times has he won the Orioles a game single-handedly with a walk-off?
I remember walk-offs and grand slams when they were losing, but boy, I was mother-effing him yesterday and Tuesday. Right. But that was the fan in me, not the objective observer that we're supposed to be. Do we have time for another call?
No, we do not. We actually don't.
All right, well, if you're on the phones, we're going to get to you eventually. We'll come back, however, talk more baseball playoffs. Gabe Lax, USA Today. Hey, the Mets and Brewers, only series that went the full. That's 7 o'clock finale there in Milwaukee. Royals go to New York, take it on the Yankees. Little 1978 kind of revisit there, if you will. And then we also have San Diego taking on the Dodgers. Are the Dodgers ready to get, let's say, Dodgers have always kind of owned the Padres, right? Can the Padres knock off the bully? Because bullies don't like getting punched and they cower.